CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer in a World Gone Mad. Hey, everybody, Jesus is still on the throne. I want to remind you again, this is one of the great things about being a Christian. In these days that we live in, no matter what happens, I always think back in Isaiah chapter 6, where the Bible says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What means by that is simply this: world leaders come and go, world peace comes and goes, but God reigns supreme. I pray today that this is your day of salvation. I pray that you have not put off getting right with God, because the Bible says today is the appointed day of salvation. The problem oftentimes is, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I'm on my deathbed. I'll do it when I have more tubes going in and out of me than a bowl of spaghetti. No, the Bible says today's the day. You see, because you're determining today what position you're going to hold in eternity forever. Oh yeah, your sins are going to be forgiven. But when you really stop to think about, you're going to be rewarded for what you do for God. Every day is valuable. So I just want to encourage you to think about that. Because again, we see a lot of things going on in the world right now that if you're not right with God, these are things that should cause you to get right with God. Joining me today, special guest we have with us, Brad Dacus from the Dacus Report, pji.org. Brad Dacus, hi and welcome, Brad.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you.
And boy, we've got a crazy world going on. I couldn't help but notice the news. Now, outside of a lot of American news, Russia has now told Israel and the United States, don't use a bunker-busting bomb on this nuclear site because it could do a Chernobyl. Interesting, the uranium was refined to the quality that it could do something like a Chernobyl. Russia had 200 Russian scientists there at that particular facility. And so there is a refreshing of the alliance between Iran and Russia right now. Now, going back to biblical prophecy in chapter 38 of Ezekiel, it says in the last days, there's going to be a war against Israel concerning Russia, concerning Persia, which is Iran and Iraq, Afghanistan, concerning Ethiopia, Libya, the Balkan states. List them by name. Curiously, what is left out is, as an example, Saudi Arabia is left out. Egypt is left out. But the other nations are mentioned, and they form this coalition to come against Israel. The Bible says, in the last days, the land of the unwalled villages, to take a spoil. I'll put a hook in their jaw, the Bible says, and I'll drag them into it. And you know, it's interesting to me that we might be seeing that hook in the jaw right now, because as we watch the news unfold, a lot of people don't realize how late the game really is. The idea, all things remain as since our fathers fell asleep, is simply not true anymore. This is the first time in the history of the world that nuclear warfare can affect the whole world. It's not hard for me to believe every living thing in the sea dies. When you understand the potential of man's weaponry, and then when you really study man's warfare through the decades, there's not a single weapon man has ever invented that he has not used. So friends, I tell people every day, today is the appointed day of salvation. You see, we may not be here. You know, God has promised that his church, his bride, will not go through the tribulation, because the tribulation is a judgment upon the earth, not upon his people. Something curious, as you study the book of Revelation, you never find the church mentioned ever again on this earth after chapter 3. They're always found in heaven in chapter 4 and 5. And at the very last part of Revelation, we come back to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years here on this earth. So what is interesting to me is that there will be saints, as the Bible says, during the tribulation period. There will be elect, but not the church. I pray you're part of the church today. You know, the Bible says that Gabriel's going to blow his horn. And when he does, the Bible says the dead in Christ rise first. Those that have died in faith are up in heaven enjoying all of eternity. Now they come back to this earth. God gives them a brand new earth suit. That's what I call these bodies, earth suits. And they're going to get a brand new one that never gets wrinkles, never gets sick, never get old. And then the Bible says our bodies, in a moment, twinkling of an eye, that's nanosecond, will be transformed. And we get our new bodies as well that never get old, never get wrinkled, never ache, pain, overweight, all those things. We're going to get a brand new body. And what's so cool about that, we're caught up to be with him in the air. And I want to just remind everybody, the Lord has made a promise to take his church out. In fact, if you read Revelation, you'll find those churches in Revelation 3 that repent, he does not allow to go through the tribulation. And I think that's really important to understand. That's why Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. And people say, well, Mike, you seem kind of fired up today. It's because when I see the total global unrest, and whether we hear the wars and rumors of war, of Canada fracturing, whether we hear North Korea and South Korea going at it, whether you hear about Iran and Israel, whether you look at Pakistan in India, around the world, there is global unrest. Jesus said this is the conditions that it's going to be. Are we on the verge of the dawning of the age of Aquarius? Don't hold your breath, friends. That's a bogus lie. The Antichrist is going to come on the world scene to, I believe, scrape up a lot of the pieces, because I think we're headed for something pretty bad. And the Bible says the world will hail him as their Messiah. But he's a false Messiah. I believe the church is gone. I believe the reason the Antichrist has not come to power right now is simply because the church is here. Because the church, the Holy Spirit, is the identifier. If a guy came on the world scene right now, everybody's in love with him. That's why I know it's not Donald Trump. Not everybody likes him. But, oh, he's going to come on the world scene with that glitzy smile, and he's going to woo the world with lying signs and wonders, him and his evil team, the Bible says, and the whole world will say, who is able to make war against him? And the Bible tells us the world enters its most darkest time. And for those 7 years, the tribulation period that comes on the earth to judge the world of their ungodliness and God dealing with his nation of Israel, that final 70th week of Daniel that we find in Daniel chapter 9. This, I believe, is where we're on the very edge of. Will it happen today or in the next couple of weeks? I don't know. I think there's a pretty good possibility we'll begin to see maybe this Ezekiel 38 war. But that does not start the tribulation period. The rapture does not start the tribulation as well. What starts the tribulation period is a peace treaty signed with Israel. And the Bible doesn't say exactly what it is, but it's a treaty where Israel is happy. And I believe it has to do with the Temple Mount. Because in Ezekiel, Revelation chapter 11, it says that they're going to build their third temple. Well, right now, the Dome of the Rock Mosque is there on the Temple Mount. Israel's not really allowed to go up there for fear of a global war. But the Antichrist is going to make some kind of a land for peace deal, peace for peace deal. I don't know. But it's going to happen. Friends, again, today's the appointed day. You know, Brad, when I see the civil unrest, even in our own nation, now they're finding out that this girl that was gunned down in Minnesota actually voted with the Republicans. And she said 1 week before she was assassinated at her front door with her husband, she said, oh, voting with the Republicans, boy, I sure put a mark on my head. They killed her a week later. Tim Walz actually had hired this guy at one time. It's a crazy... Brad, tell us, what's going on?
Yeah, it is disturbing when we see politicians being killed. That's historically, that's a real danger to show instability in a nation. And we had two here that were attacked, and you know, we've had assassination attempts recently, and so there's definitely greater unrest. Of course, with the riots, these aren't peace, you know, demonstrators. These are people wanting to create chaos, and it's and condemning those who are trying to bring criminals to arrest criminals and deporting criminals. So it's a very, you know, dangerous time in that regard. That said, I will tell you, I am very positive with regards to District Attorney of Los Angeles. I think he's already indicted 38 of these rioters, violent people doing violent things. And we're seeing the Department of Justice, you know, it's not just in D.C. The Department of Justice, you know, federal prosecutors all across the country. And I think it was one in Los Angeles said, you may think you get away with it doing what you've done, protesters and people who've done violence. You know, it may take a few weeks, but we'll be knocking on your door. We'll be arresting you. I think we'll be using AI and all kinds of new technology to track them down. So I do see some good things happening, but we do see a lot of division, a lot of hate towards Christians. We see a lot of persecution of Christians also outside the United States. And also, I think it is interesting that the countries that are there in Scripture, specifically, those are countries that you know, are not allies of Israel. You know, if one of them was, say, Saudi Arabia, we'd say, "Oh, well, wait a minute, Saudi Arabia is not wanting to be at war with Israel." Or say, if it said Jordan, we'd say, "Well, Jordan doesn't want to be." The countries specifically mentioned are ones that have demonstrated hostility, and the fact that we have China and Russia, and now this is a window in history where we haven't seen those two at the same time, collaborative like this in the Middle East. So it is, people need to realize whether or not this is, we're about to see a fulfillment of Ezekiel 38, 39 or not. At the very least, this is a historical moment that could be a prelude to fulfillment of that scripture, if not sooner, maybe than later. So I think it is important for us to take notice of it and not to respond with fear, but to respond with prayer and to keep our eyes on the Lord, to do the Lord's work, to share the good news of Christ. That is what God wants us to do as we take note of where we may be with the fulfillment of Scripture.
Yeah, because I think we're living in some pretty exciting times right now. You know, that big old black book that you store $2 bills in and locks a baby's hair is now more relevant than your newspaper about what's going on in the world. And
it really is. And in fact, it's interesting, about an hour after I'm done with this show, I'm going to be guest preaching at a Messianic church in Plano, Texas. It's exciting what God is doing through the Jewish people and how he's pouring out his spirit to the people of Israel. So it's exciting.
So, yeah, we're in some pretty incredible times right now. And so, yeah, if you got a question today you'd like to ask us, we have an attorney with us, Brad Dacus. Doesn't cost you $500 an hour to ask a question. And so you're welcome to give us a call. And he represents people like you and me against unfair government laws, state and city local laws as well. And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask him, hey, that number to call again, 88 Ask CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program. We're going to Heidi in Minnesota. Hi, and welcome.
Hello. I wanted to know if you heard the latest on CNN that we're rapture preppers and that we're a magical group of people that are Christians.
I haven't heard it. I haven't heard about that, but and I'm not really a prepper. I just believe when Gabriel blows, we're going, man, we're out of here. And you know, the Bible, that's why Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. And again, this is one of the false doctrines that has entered into the church that really gets a burr under my saddle when some guy stands up and says, oh, the Lord's not coming back to the middle of the tribulation. oh, the Lord's not coming back until the end of the tribulation. Or you have some of the real loonies out there that say, oh, there's no such thing as the rapture at all. I got some real problems with that. Because Jesus said, now I know Jesus isn't much of an authority in the church anymore, because we have replaced Jesus, God's word, with the philosophies of man and the internet. But if you go back to the Bible, it's Jesus said these words, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. It doesn't say what hour you're going to die, what hour your Lord's going to come. And all the way through the Bible, it talks about God catching people away, whether it was Enoch who walked with God and was taken, whether it was Elijah carried up in a fire, a whirlwind like a fiery chariot, whether it was Philip when he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch and found after he came up out of the water, he disappeared and was found over on the coast. Whether you find the 144,000 appearing in heaven. No, God supernaturally moving people around is not a new concept, friends. It's all the way through the Bible. And so any man that says, oh, Jesus can't come back till the middle, that isn't what Jesus taught. He said, watch and be ready. And I'm going to take God's word over any person, any minister that says, oh, no, he's not coming back at all. Or he, you know, no, the Bible doesn't say that. And the Bible says the world is going to get worse and worse. It's rushing towards a global judgment, as in the days of Noah were. Look this up for yourself. Matthew chapter 24. Then read what the world was like in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8. It says the Bible talks about, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is speaking of the rapture, not the second coming. The Bible says, Jesus said, he does the commentary, they were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage until Noah entered the ark and the door was shut. Then a global judgment falls on the world. Well, what do we find now? People eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. No thought, no concern about tomorrow. Not realizing they're on the cusp of a global world judgment by God. The second coming of Christ, it tells us exactly when that is. If, whether you look at the last chapter of the book of Daniel, whether you look at the book of Revelation, 3.5 years after the abomination which makes desolate, where the Antichrist puts his image, his picture of himself or his name in the temple in Jerusalem that's not yet built, but it's going to be, 3.5 years after that moment, Jesus Christ makes his second coming. But the rapture, we don't know. And the Bible tells us it's right before a global judgment, as in the days of Noah were. Now listen, when you read Revelation 16 on, hey, listen, it isn't eat, drink, and be merry. When you read Revelation 16 on, every living thing in the sea dies. When you look at all the cataclysmic things that have happened to this planet, 1/4 of the world's population dies in just the very first part of the tribulation period. And by the end of the tribulation period, there's only about a third of the original population left. And when you look at this kind of devastation, it isn't eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. It's mere survival. Read the book. So yeah. The second coming and the rapture of the church is two different things. The rapture comes when things are party time. The second coming comes when, as Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 24, unless those days were shortened, there would be no flesh saved. Why does he say that? Because really the tribulation period, I believe, would have went on longer than 7 years, but man in his cleverness, has somehow figured out how to destroy himself off this planet in 7 years. Now, God does bring about his judgment. God's judgments are to cause them to repent. When you see these things in your own personal life that are out of your control and you know your problems are bigger than you, you turn to God. When the world sees the same thing, the heart of God is that they would turn to him. For God so loved the world that they would not perish. That's God's heart. But you see, man in his arrogance and the devil's influence in this world has done this. And I don't mean to belabor the point, but friends, when I look at the news, hey, listen, people go, I'm going to wait to the last minute. Well, you know what? You might just be here. You might just be here. You might wake up tomorrow morning. This bulletin just said millions missing all over the earth. We don't know where they went. It could have been some kind of a dynamics that the world went through. It may have been the world purged itself of the undesirables. It may be the UFOs got them. We don't know what happened. But all the world now has to rally together to keep this kind of an event happening again. Whatever the lie sends that the devil sends, the Bible says they'll believe a lie.
Right.
Today's the appointed day. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a really good observation how, unlike any time in history, do we have the lies, if you will, the foundation for the lies already laid out. So with regards to the rapture, you know, there's already talk about the UFOs. That's you know, being here. So there's the lie is already there for when the rapture happens. There's already an excuse for people to choose to believe. And then we have these natural disasters and things happening in a cataclysmic ways, according to scripture. We have, you know, global warming, climate change. Oh yeah, this was all, our scientists said this. This is all a part of climate change. So it's interesting that we're at a point in history where we have so many things coming together. And one of those elements are the lies, because God doesn't force anyone into a relationship. God will always allow us for there to be the option to choose to believe something different, to choose to reject God. God gives us that freedom. So those lies are going to be there that man is going to raise up. And for those who have a heart that is cold and not wanting to choose the Lord. And then that with regard to China and Russia and what we're seeing happening, this is of historic proportions. We've never seen China and Russia and the likes coming together the way they have in this regard against Israel via with Persia. So this is a wake-up call. And I want to say the wake-up call is not for people to panic and go to the store and get lots of, you know, water and toilet paper or whatever. No. This is a wake-up call for us to live for Christ like never before, to understand that we may have a lot less time than we can imagine. And that's nothing for us to fear. That's something for us to embrace as Christians, rejoicing for the coming of Christ when it happens, but also for the opportunities we still have to share our faith and live our faith to a world dying desperately right now to know Jesus. And we see the Holy Spirit moving among young men coming to Christ. And this is also another incredible thing happening that there is no explanation for, as far as I'm concerned, but for the work of the Holy Spirit happening right now in the United States in particular. So this is the time for us to get involved and to be a wake-up call, but not a call for confusion or fear.
Amen. Heidi, I hope that helps.
It does. I just wanted to say ACLJ had that clip on that woman that said that. And as far as I'm concerned, I am prepping for the rapture. I am trying to live for the rapture.
There you go. That's the way we're supposed to do it. Yes. You know, and you know, I don't believe it's wrong to save up food, things like this, but it's when we start trusting in our basement rather than in Christ. There's the danger. You know, Proverbs says a wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. But how much are you going to prepare? See, that's the problem. And it's different for every person. I've had people say, well, don't you trust God? Well, do you lock your house at night? Well, yeah. Well, don't you trust God? When you go into a supermarket, do you have money in your wallet? Well, yeah. Don't you trust God? Why don't you just walk in the supermarket? Oh, I'm going to find money on the floor to buy what I need. You see, do you have a spare tire in your car? Well, yeah. Don't you trust God? You see, I've ran into these super spiritual people that pull this. And then I've ran into the other crowd that unless you're, prepping for 50 years, you're not a believer or whatever. They got it all messed up. Listen, You need to pray and find out every person. God, here am I. I'm your servant. What do you want me to do for you? And what God may have me do may be a lot different than what he'll have you do. Why is that? Because again, we're individuals. God sent Paul to the Gentiles. Sent Peter to the Jews. Hey, listen, that's the way God works. He didn't send everybody to the Jews. God has an individual calling for everyone in our lives. And we need to pray and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do for you? And since we're getting maybe close to the big wrap up, how much more then, as the Bible says, when you see that day approaching, what manner of people should we be? So I just really want to encourage everybody listening, never be dismayed at what you see on the thing, but just say, Lord, how do you want me to fit in to this end time scenario? Because people are concerned, friends. They are. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know the one who does. And that's what we trust in. Heidi, stay in line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, dear, for calling in. And thanks so much for the call, okay? God bless you. I guess we might have lost you there, but stay in line or call back.
Bless you too.
Well, blessings, Heidi, to you, and good to talk to you. Let's go to Dimitri in Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Mike. I watched the 700 Club because they have really good news on there and they have some really great testimonies on there. But Wednesday, I was really disturbed about a segment they had. They were celebrating the American Pope and, you know, that he's from Chicago. And I was just wondering if you could please, you know, let all the Christians and listeners know what's the difference the Orthodox Christianity and Roman Catholicism.
Well, I think any Christian organization, we're going to talk about this on the other side of the break, shouldn't be promoting a church, should be promoting Jesus. Hey, that's what we celebrate. We're coming up on that break. Don't go away. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer for women the blessing of life. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug, or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Welcome you back to part two of Your Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon. Hey, tonight at the River Christian Fellowship, we have a revival night with Ryan Reese, worship band called Promise Me, the food trucks, so you can come and eat outside. We're going to have food trucks out there available. And again, Revival Night. It's going to be really neat because it's going to be a night centered on worship, God's word. And you can even get baptized tonight if you want to get baptized. And so it's at the River Christian Fellowship, and that's follow the signs to Shoshone Falls. We're just about a mile or two away from the majestic Shoshone Falls, the Niagara of the West, and you're invited to come. That's tonight, 7 o'clock. And again, Ryan Reese, Raul Reese's son, will be speaking, as well as a great worship band, Promise Me. And so you'll enjoy this tonight, 7 o'clock. It is free, and you just come. Grab everybody you know. It's going to be a great time tonight. And don't worry about food. There are food trucks out in front to match your wonderful desires in cuisine. It's there for you tonight. Going back to the phones, and by the way, we have with us Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, again, I'm so glad you're with us today, and we're going to... It's kind of a different day because, I mean, as you watch the news, you're wondering what's happening. We see America... riots in the street. We see civil unrest around the world. Brad, really quickly, your take.
Yeah, I think there's a real testing of the United States. I think we've got leadership that's going to be very thoughtful in how we act and respond to it. The China and Russia, they're about to potentially lose their one foothold that they have in the Middle East. That could be a huge setback. Iran's been providing drones for Russia in their war against Ukraine, as well as missiles. If those are knocked out and destroyed, which I think they have been or soon will be, that's going to potentially impact Russia in their war with Ukraine. I think this is a testing for the United States. The world is watching, and I think what they're going to learn is that this nation is not reactive, but we're also not timid and intimidated when it comes to standing up for what's our interests for peace and safety of America, as well as the nation of Israel. I believe at the end of the day, Trump's going to be deliberating for 2 weeks on what to do with regards to Iran. I think at the end of the day, his final resolve will be to end any possibility for Russia, at least in the near intermediate term, to develop a nuclear bomb. And
Iran.
I think that's something that we can all should all support.
So exciting times. Back to the phones we go. Dimitri on the line in Oregon was asking that the 700 Club was kind of celebrating this new pope and everything like that. And again, as I say, I think we need to celebrate Jesus. People yes. come, people go. I know that sometimes we look up to certain leaders, and then oftentimes even leaders will let us down. I mean, we're all human. We all put our shoes on the same way, and we're all can be tempted or whatever. I mean, it's just that's the way it is. And we want to idolize a man or a pastor, and this person walks on water and they never sin. Let me tell you, friends, they sin. If you followed them around, you'd find things they do wrong. I think oftentimes this is why Jesus said, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a log in your own. This is one of the great problems that we find in the church today. We find the sin sniffers that are out there and pointing their finger of accusation at everybody, not looking at their own life. Now, we have the Bible to show us that people who God used, amazing ways, King David, a man after God's own heart that will rule on the throne with Jesus during the millennial reign of Christ, the Bible says, did all kinds of heinous, terrible things. But God forgave him, and God forgives us. And this is why Jesus said, forgive one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. But we don't find that much in the church anymore, do we, friends? We find a lot of people saying, well, I'd be a Christian, but I'm afraid I'm going to sin. And I see what the church does to people who sin. They crucify them all over again. I think it's pretty sad. You see, right. This is what made the revival of the late 60s, early 70s, the Jesus movement. Because we all realize as we came to Christ, we're all bozos on this bus. We're going to mess up. We're going to continue to mess up. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I do want to serve God. And God, when I mess up, I need you to forgive me. And that's why in 1 John in the epistles, it says, if we sin, my children, you have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. So don't worry about if I become a Christian, I'm going to sin. Yeah, you will. And don't worry about the namesayers and the finger pointers. They're always going to be there. But be about your Father's business. Great is your reward in heaven. And you know, David continued to serve and search God out even after his sins that he did. And God forgave him, and God forgives you as well. Amen. Now, going back to the 700 Club, I don't know why any group would not focus upon the supremacy of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to look at. Because again, people, organizations let us down. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I'm glad that they mentioned that because if this Pope, actually, I have concerns. There's obviously differences in the doctrine of the Catholic Church and from Orthodox Christian doctrine, or as an evangelical Christian doctrine, at least. But I am very concerned. This is not going to be Pope John Paul II. This is a Pope with a definite liberal or left leaning, if you will. This has been exhibited. So I'm concerned in the direction that he's going to take. His predecessor, Pope Francis, made some heretical enunciations on some things, on some issues. Catholic friends of mine say, "Well, it wasn't church doctrine. That was just his personal opinion." And how they bifurcated is fine. But reality is, we cannot put our hope in men. We, at the end of the day, whether you're Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, whatever it is, we cannot put our hope in men. We have to put our hope in Christ. And when we have truth proclaimed, no matter what label it's under, we need to be supportive of that truth and to continue to lead people to look to Christ and to respect his word and what his holy word says about the issues and the challenges of the day. I think that's what we need to do, irrespective of our denomination or our affiliation.
Yeah, celebrate Jesus. Hope that helps, Dimitri.
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering if you could just briefly, I know I don't want to take up much time, but just the main differences between Roman Catholicism and Orthodox or biblical Christianity.
They believe that Mary is also a redemptress. So you can pray to Jesus or Mary. They're both co-redemptresses. This is forbidden in Scripture in Hebrews. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. So that's the first thing that we find that is very heretical. Number two, this idea of purgatory. You go and through penance or something that you will do, money, buying Uncle Fred out of the Hoos Cow, that also is not found in Scripture. Also in Hebrews, it says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The idea of making graven images, statues, is also in violation of Scripture, insomuch that even in downtown Twin Falls here, the Catholic Church took the Ten Commandments, eliminated thou shalt not make any graven images. They completely got rid of that one, edited the Bible, and then took the Tenth Commandment and divided it into two so that it would have it. They would still have the Ten Commandments. Can't do that. You see, statues are man's concept of what God looks like or what God is. And God is so far beyond anything we can imagine, anything we could carve. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. He's in the Bible. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think one of the most fundamental that I've seen is, when I've visited with Catholics, they often, they sort of fear God. They see God sort of distance, and they fear God, but they don't have that personal relationship with God. They don't feel like they know God oftentimes. I've met Catholics who do actually are on fire for Jesus. But this is something a common point I've seen. And then also, the joy of salvation comes through the recognition, that Jesus paid for it all on the cross. And there is nothing that we can do. It's not being, receiving Jesus, but also being, really, really, really good and doing everything really, really right, it's just Jesus. It's just entering into a real personal, trust in Jesus and belief in what he did on the cross and receiving him as our Lord and Savior. And if we do that, we will see the fruits of the Holy Spirit through our lives, not because of our own merits, but because of the grace and the work of God through us as we grow in Christ and are sanctified through the Word of God. So that's a real difference we see, because I've seen a lot of Catholics and even some, I've even seen Protestants in some denominations where they're actually just afraid that they're not going to go to heaven, that they still haven't done enough good works, or you know, somehow their good needs outweigh their bad, and in so doing they've completely turned their back on the cross and the power of the cross and the fullness and completeness of the cross and what Jesus did and through his death and resurrection.
So, and also that the Pope is God's vicar here on this earth. So no matter what the Bible says, the Pope's word overrides the Bible. That's pure heresy. There's no way around that. And again, where the previous Pope said, we will not perform homosexual marriages. However, if you already are married, then we will, I think it was honor that or something. Read Romans chapter 1, very clear what the Bible says about that. That's not left up to a pope or a pastor or a priest or an organization or a denomination. The Bible's very clear. Read Romans chapter 1. This is after Jesus died on the cross. The churches were established. He went to heaven. And because people oftentimes will say, well, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that was the Old Testament. Now we're under grace and, you know, all this kind of stuff. We all love groove. Everybody's cool. You know, no. Read Romans 1. Very, very important. Well, Jesus never spoke against homosexuality. Oh, yes, he did. In fact, he had a whole sermon in three words. Remember Lot's wife. And what was that that led up to Lot's wife? Read the Bible. You'll find that in Genesis. Hope that helps, Dimitri.
That was great. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Sean, Pleasant Grove, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Howdy, friends.
So, yes.
Tonight, me and a couple other guys are going to lay hands on my sister-in-law. I'm just curious if it would be wrong for me to ask if my brother, her husband, would be willing to lay hands on her as well, or he's not a Christian.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily bad, but it's meaningless. And I because of this reason, the power that we as Christians have is because Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. And the Bible says that many things were imparted through the laying on of hands, whether it's the gifts of the Spirit or recognition of a calling in an individual's life or an ordination. That's all part of the laying on of hands, casting out demons, laying on of many things in the Bible had and came through the laying on of hands. Now, a non-believer, just to say, well, you don't believe it, you know, my hope would be that he would realize these people in this circle are praying with authority, and I have no authority. I need to get what they got. So I want to be careful in ostracizing people, but the thing is, by simply, you know, there's no kinetic energy within a non-saved person for a person to be healed. Well, you know, it's the universal force. No, not at all. It's Jesus. And he's conveyed through us. And the Bible says that we have that authority from him. Not that we conjured it in ourselves. It's what God gives us. And this is what we're Simon the sorcerer, he thought he could buy this anointing of laying on of hands and it would be something for him. It's, man, what a cool trick. No, not at all. It's Jesus. And I think, again, going back to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, and that's where it's at. That's so cool. You know, your thoughts, Brad.
Yeah. You know, God works in mysterious ways sometimes. But I think it's good to not make it an issue of it and say, well, no, you can't lay your hands on her because you're not a Christian. He won't understand that. He doesn't know that. So to him, it would be an offense. It would be a distancing factor, probably. I just give him, if he wants to put hands and pray. But we need to understand that it's not just a ritual. It's not something like this, yes, like you mentioned, inherent kinetic energy or something like that, or, you know, being grounded. No, it's it comes through what we have as Christians who have received Jesus and have the promises of the word and the authority that God's given us through Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing of we do of ourselves. It's nothing, no secret energy we have in ourselves. It's being a vessel for the Holy Spirit to move as we step out and we lay hands in prayer. And God has scripturally as well as modern days, I've seen miracles that happen when we do that, that step of faith to lay our hands on people and lift them up to Christ. But yeah, I would not let that be an issue of separation or that could be very counterproductive. He wants to, fine. But God uses also hard times like this sometimes to wake up non-believers of loved ones that realize, before I felt I was in control and now I may be losing a loved one here. I'm not in control. And sometimes their hearts are humbled and they're more open to receive Christ. I've seen that happen before. And we need to be praying for him in this circumstance for the Holy Spirit to move and touch his heart and his need to that he can't, he's not in control and he needs a Savior and a Lord that he can call out to in times like this.
Might be a really good opportunity too, because I use the illustration, you're in a store, some little kid comes up, "Hey, mister, buy me a bicycle." "Oh, I don't know who you are. You could ride it out in front and get hit by a bus." "I don't care. Mister, buy me a bicycle. I want a bicycle. Give me a bicycle." "I don't know who you are. Go away." But if your own child came up to you and said, "Daddy, would you buy me a bicycle for my birthday?" Well, you're getting old enough. You know how to stay on the sidewalk. Yeah, okay. Maybe I can do that for you. What's the difference? A relationship. That is maybe if he wants to lay hands on her. Afterwards, you might ask him a question. Just say, the reason why when I lay hands on somebody is because I have a relationship with my Father in heaven. He's my daddy, and he listens because I'm his child. Are you his child? And you might be able to use that for a witnessing tool. Hope that helps, Sean.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much.
God bless you. If you need us, we're here for you. Stay on the line. Send you out some books and DVDs. God bless you. Let's go to Michael in Geneva, New York. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How may we help?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, I got a pretty complicated legal situation. It started when I was in prison. I was persecuted for my faith, my mental health, and diagnosed with a disability and told that I'm religiously preoccupied. That followed me out onto the streets where they imposed mental health onto me as a part of my parole. I have been kicked out of several churches in the area. When the Lord leads me in to bring reformation to the churches, when I was in prison, he trained me on how to do it, showed me which books to read so I understood things, and they would call the cops on me. And
what kind of books?
One time I got.
What kind of books?
Say again now.
What kind of books?
Discernment books, Dave Hunt books, Lighthouse Trails.
Okay.
Other ones on like the social justice doctrine by, what is it called?
Well, Michael, let me just ask you this. I understand that. Now, because we don't have much time here. Real quick, can you ask the question you want to ask? Because it sounds like this is a legal one for Brad. So can you ask very quickly what it is? Because we're almost out of time.
Okay, well, basically, I had to report police contact to my parole officer due to a church calling the police after I stood out in front of their church with a whiteboard, and he told me he didn't want to hear about it again, told me basically not to do it. I told him I had to obey God, not man, but, they're breathing down my back. Harassing me, and it's like I would have to file a grievance if they came at me. But I just wonder what can I do, because I signed a paper forfeiting my rights to go to church. I should have never done it.
Okay, yeah. Brad, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was gonna So, you know, when you're part of parole, under parole, then, you're not innocent. I mean, you've got conditions, you need to meet those conditions. That said, I was actually going to recommend you to become a part of a church, maybe not this particular church you've dealt with, but become a part of a church. And that is evidence that you are part of a community. When you're part of community, like a church, that's evidence that you are mental. You have people to vouch for you. You have a pastor to vouch for you. But if they're telling you that you cannot go to a church anywhere as a condition for parole, by golly, give us a call. I've never heard of that, and that is very unusual. If it's a particular church they say you can't go to because they don't want you there, and you're causing whatever. That's one thing. But if they say you cannot go to church at all as a condition for parole, contact us at Pacific Justice Institute. Go to our website, pji.org, and put in your request for help, and we'll be happy to look into it and get back with you.
So hope that helps, Mike.
Appreciate that.
You got the direction you need now. So, again, if you stay on the line, our friendly operators will give you the phone number if you don't have it. But that'll take care of you. Stay on the line if you like. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. And with that, before we go to Stephen in Denver, Colorado, real quickly again, tonight is Revival Night with Ryan Reese, Raul Reese's son, who's heard here on CSN. It will be broadcast on CSN, so just adjust the time. It starts at 7 o'clock. The food trucks will be here between 5 and 7. If you want to just come on out and eat with us, it's going to be a great time. I look forward to being here tonight as well, and look forward to seeing everybody in church on Sunday morning. I've been gone a little bit, been speaking in Hawaii some, and I'll be back on Sunday morning, and I'm going to be sharing about God's heroes. You know, we all need heroes in our life, and God's got a bunch of them for you and for me. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we're going to talk about that this Sunday here at the River Christian Fellowship Twin Falls. If you're unable to attend in person, it starts at 10 o'clock. You can pick it up on the radio at 10:30, carried on all the CSN radio stations across America. And, of course, you can always go to csnradio.com, and there you can hit live audio streaming anywhere in the world and pick it up. So I think you'll enjoy that. But tonight, 7 o'clock, Ryan Reese, and we're going to have special worship by Promise Me, a band, as we have a great revival night tonight. It's going to have all kinds of things. If you haven't been baptized, we got a baptismal tonight as well. So looking forward to being with you. Now, back to the phones we go. We have Stephen on the line, Denver. Hi, welcome.
Oh, hey, Mike. Hey, Brad, how are you guys doing?
Good. How may we help?
Doing great.
Good, good. Hey, just going back to the tribulation topic there. Someone had called in Monday, and it was like Scott, Pastor Scott, and Greg, I believe. Yeah, Greg Bowen. And he had an interesting question about if somebody takes the mark in the end times, if they then give food to one of their family members that don't have the mark, if they would be kind of condemned as well. And you know, they kind of thought about it and gave some scriptures. And the thought came to me is Jesus also said in Matthew that, you know, the end times, you know, that, you know, brother will give up brother and father will give up their children.
Yep.
I think Jesus was kind of referring to the end times. So my thought is, hey, somebody who takes the mark of the beast, they've already committed in their heart that they're going to worship him anyways. And so I'm thinking they've sold their soul out to the devil to basically be possessed. So I don't see a person like that giving food to their family members that didn't take the mark, because they're going to want to give them up, just like Jesus said, to the, you know, Antichrist.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe there's a lot of problems that way. And you know, the Bible says you'll be forgiven of any sin except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Well, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit can take on many different forms, but that's a rejection of God. But when you take the mark of the beast, the Bible says that won't be forgiven. Now, I don't care, these different ministers get up and say, oh, no, God will even forgive you for that. No, the Bible says you will not be. So I have to take God's word over the word of any man. Brad, any last thoughts?
I would say that people who refuse to take the mark, we need to exhibit the love of Christ even for those who are lost, or those who I think that's going to be all a part of the sacrifice that we have as Christians. We give up. We need to surrender the truth, know the love of Christ, no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstance. but it will be very divisive without a doubt. We as Christians, though, will not be contributing to it. It'll be coming from darkness, I'm sure.
Amen. Hope that answers it for you, Stephen. Heidi, I wish I could get to you, but maybe we can get to you on Monday. Stephen, if that didn't answer your question, you're welcome to call back. Look again, once again, tonight, 7 o'clock, River Christian Fellowship, Twin Falls. Ryan Reese will be here with the band, and we're going to have a great time. And then I hope to see you on Sunday morning here in Twin Falls. God bless you. Good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.